Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer.
Only in America.
Randy Tobler.
Dreaming in red, white, and blue.
On News Talk STL.
Designed to be occupied with civil, principled statesmen and women, have been overtaken by a small group of swamp creatures.
Well, just everything from narcissists to charlatans, when all we want to do is pass the big red policy ideas that were promised to voters of this state every 2 years.
Well, that's a showdown that we will be unpacking this morning for you. Later on, we will have representatives from both sides of the chasm within the GOP conference in the Missouri General Assembly. Our own Nick Schoer from here on News Talk STL. You hear him on Stand and Fight, of course, every Sunday night from 8 to 10. Will be with us at 7:25. And then at 8:10, Cindy O'Loughlin, who is the House, the Senate Majority Leader, will join us. Calls from the Freedom Caucus and their supporters for leadership. That is Rowden, who you heard there, Caleb Rowden, president of the Missouri Senate, and Cindy O'Loughlin's partner in leadership, really. That was him basically saying, you know, we need to move on with some name calling. On the other hand, he has been called, along with Cindy and others in the conference, rhinos by the Freedom Caucus. So it heats up. Last week, Nick was among those in the Freedom Caucus who was not barred from his committee chairmanship. Four others were: Denny Hoskins, Andrew Koenig, of course, Bill Eigel, who is running for governor. And, you know, it had been quite tumultuous. And where it's going to end up, we don't know. Others demoted, and, well, they lost their parking spots, too, from underneath the Capitol there, underneath the Capitol. Banished to far parking lots and street, I guess, you know, parking meters. I'm not sure. I'm Randy Tobler. Welcome to the program. Along with Jerome, we have a packed show for you. And yeah, I hope you tune in to the Facebook or the Rumble feed. That's always fun to watch and see the antics going on there. And of course, this week saw some interesting goings on at the border as well. The unbelievable unbelievable showdown, which appears to be developing between Texas Governor Greg Abbott, the National Guard in Texas, who continue to put up razor wire in the face of permission by the Supreme Court as they returned the decision making back to the appellate court and basically gave Biden administration authority to go ahead and cut it down, bring in the federal border patrol agents, have them cut the razor wire. Now, at this time, there has been no effort to do that. That's been reported. Things appear to be relatively quiet. That's a whole nother story. Why in the past 3 weeks, as the election season heats up, has the border become quiet? I call it manipulating the landscape so that the political winds blow in your way. Joe Biden, we know what you're up to. That's what's going on. And sounds like maybe he won't be cutting that wire, because if he can claim that he has secured the border, and those pesky Republicans just won't let him do even more, well, that could take away, in the minds of independents, some of the issues that I think drive support for the right, for the GOP candidates up and down the slate. The economy continues to cool off a little bit. Good numbers this week in GDP growth above 3% in the third quarter on an annualized basis. And inflation settling down. Of course, the Biden economy has that inflation of almost 10% baked in your cake when you go out to buy cake or bread or bacon or milk or eggs. It's there. It's not going away. Those prices have not come down. They're in there. And they continue to rise now at 2.5%, 3% rather than the 9%. Of course, KJP doesn't want to talk about that. In fact, we have a sound clip on that. Clip 7, Jerome. KJP mischaracterizes, because of some slowing down in the rate of increase, the phenomenal unbelievable rates of increase. Here she is.
About the impeachment of Mayorkas, or the proceedings to impeach Mayorkas, it is shameful. It is shameful. That's how they want to use their time, wasteful time.
That was my bad. That was Mayorkas. That was her on Mayorkas. Clip 4 is what I meant to say. Sorry about that, Jerome. My bad. I have so many KJP statements, I don't even know which one's right. Here she is.
Under President Biden. Inflation has now fallen back to pre-pandemic levels, and the economy grew 3.1% last year, stronger than during the Trump administration. At the same time, wages and household wealth are higher than before the pandemic. In 2023, we also saw prices fall for key household purchases like gas and milk, eggs, toys, appliances, and airfare.
Well, there you go. So life is really good. And you can see that the messaging is going to now emphasize an improvement, a cooling down, the fire that was the inflation of almost 10% at one point in the Biden administration, as though he's an arsonist who sets fire to a house and then he puts out the fire. There's still some smoldering flames that pop up here and there, a little smoke rising from the ashes of your ever-rising credit card debt, where may I remind you that credit card debt cumulatively for these United States is over $1 trillion, record levels. So like the arsonist who sets a fire and then comes in and puts on a fireman's suit and puts it out, that's the game they're playing with us. We know it. Of course, the left doesn't care. He could do no wrong. Inflation could be 10%. And they would say, well, that's okay as long as global warming, as long as you're not eating meat and drinking coffee. Now, you know, if you drink coffee now, that contributes to global warming. I don't know if you heard that the other day at the World Economic Forum, that guy, the guru. So are you drinking coffee this morning, Jerome? You don't want to contribute to the global warming, do you?
Oh, yeah. I'm single-handedly increasing all the global warming with my coffee consumption.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. Melt icebergs. Melt. Here it is. There you go. Watch the levels. May the levels of the seas rise and gobble up the Obama compound on Martha's Vineyard. There you go.
Amen.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Why would Obama buy... If he bought this climate change nonsense, why would the Obamas buy property there right on the ocean's edge? Why would they do that if the oceans are rising because of the melting ice caps? I mean, makes no sense. They know this is all a scam. They know this is all to feed the industry that then they mandate that we funnel our taxes into. And then, of course, when those industries do well, where do those monies go to? To re-election. It's a nice deal. Right. They go to the campaigns of the guys that support them. It's like government union workers. It's like regular union workers. You know how that is. I know many of you are in unions. You have no choice and you're skilled craftsmen. And I know it just gets your goat to have your union dues go to support. But that's what's going on here. We know that. So it's just disingenuity from the White House. We heard Kamala Harris say it all week. It's just that she was on an interview with Katie Couric. They were comparing how tall they were. Katie is 5'7" when she wears her 5-inch heels, but she's only 5'2". And Kamala, she's 5', what is it, 4.5". But one of the outlets reported that she was shorter than that. Oh, my God. Say it ain't so. I mean, the important news of the day. That's what Kamala and Katie were talking about. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, but Kamala was just talking about, and Katie was feeding her the bull and fertilizing it with the bull. Well, but I just, you know, look at the performance of the economy under Biden. Jobs creation, 17 million, all these jobs that have been created. Yeah, 20 million were lost during the last quarter of the Trump administration. Why? Because of the China flu. And so you regain shy of 3 million of those, and it's a triumph? Well, let me see. Let me see how this works. So I have a hole in my bucket. My bucket's full. I have a hole in my bucket. The bucket drains down to a quarter of what it was. I patch the hole in my bucket. I turn on the faucet and I fill it up to a little shy of where it was. Look at me. What a great bucket filler I am. Wow, I'm a brilliant. Look, Dad, I got you a fill. I filled your bucket and I prepared your bucket. What a great guy I am. Look at the water gain you had, Dad. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is just absolutely asinine. And the problem is, I don't know whether the NPR listeners that live next door to you, I know when you go out to get the mail, you wave at those NPR listeners. You guys listening in, you know, O'Fallon, St. Charles, Chesterfield, Washington. And you've got the guy driving the guy driving the Subaru. You know, the guy with the Subaru, graduated from Wisconsin. You know, that guy. And you know, he tends to every blade of his grass, and everything's perfect. And he probably got a few solar panels on the roof, got a few solar panels, investing in those. And the Tesla that he couldn't charge, remember, he had to drive him to work because the Tesla, he couldn't charge it, and the batteries didn't work too well in the cold. And that guy doesn't, he listens to NPR and propaganda broadcasting system he watches. And they're going to believe this bilge. They're going to believe every bit of it because Joe Biden can do no wrong and Donald Trump's Hitler. And that's a whole nother thing. This week we saw Donald Trump going after Nikki Haley. I wish he'd stop calling her bird brain. I know many of you will disagree with me. But when we come back in the next segment, you know, I'm going to sort of unpack where I see this politics going and this election cycle going. And I just think we ought to have some discussion about it. I think the VP conversation is an important one. We're going to be talking about education choice. I still think that is really sort of a dark horse issue that can really propel. If Donald Trump would talk about that on a national basis more, if he would continue to talk about that, if he continued to talk about law and order, I'm not sure the border thing is going to be the border thing anymore. Biden's going to shut it down. And as the economy sort of floats along at what it felt like at an idle back in the 17, range before the virus came, 17, 18, 19 before virus, you know, he'll be able to claim, look, things are better now. Inflation is down. That messaging is picked very carefully. When Joe Biden says prices are down, inflation is down, what he means is the rate of increase is down, but it's still increasing, and it's building on top of the enormous 9, 8, 9, 10, almost 10% that we saw. I just can't impress upon you enough how much they're going to be disingenuous with their messaging. And then, of course, we'll have the what promises to be an interesting and I hope an informative. I hope we can get into some weeds with Nick Schroer, our own Nick Schroer from News Talk STL, and Cindy O'Loughlin on opposite sides of this battle, where it finally came to a head last week. In the floor of the Missouri Senate, when Caleb, well, it wasn't the floor, it was out in the rotunda, when Caleb Rowden said, we can't do this anymore. The Freedom Caucus has held the floor for 15 and a half of the 16 hours. He told us that on Wake Up Mid Missouri on my drive time program in Columbia in the mornings. And by golly, he booted off four Freedom Caucus members out of their committee chairmanship and in other cases their committees. And well, now he claimed, now Jerome is saying, I don't know, can't believe it. On the other hand, the Freedom Caucus is saying we can't get, I mean, the leadership and the rest of the senators are saying we can't get anything done because the Freedom Caucus keeps filibustering. They were holding up gubernatorial nominations because apparently not one or more of the bills that they wanted to get referred to committee on in initiative petition reform were going through. But you see, it's the weeds that count. And I'm hoping that Nick and Cindy will share with us. On the one hand, we're going to be asking Nick Schroer, what in particular is it? Why do you call them the swamp? What particular issue has been overtly obstructed that couldn't have gotten done through regular order? And then we're going to ask Cindy, you've been accused of being part of the swamp. And then I looked at some campaign contributions, and we're going to talk with Nick about that. I've heard the Freedom Caucus talking about the leadership being owned by big money, by lobbyists, by this and that. Well, I think the same could be said of my friends on the Freedom Caucus. I'm the most conflicted guy in Missouri. Jerome, did you know that? I haven't slept for a week.
Yeah, I feel for your doctor.
You're lucky I got... Lucky I got my eyes open. If I could prescribe sleeping pills for my anti-sleeping pills, like some kind of, I don't know, ADD medicine for myself, I would. Because I like Bill Geigel. I like Tim Jones. You know that. My buddies. I like Nick Schroer. Good. They're my family here at News Talk. But yet I know Cindy O'Loughlin. I know Caleb Rowden from my mid-Missouri, my Northeast experience. I have experience in both realms. Both good people with my personal experience. So we're going to bring that to the table. We're going to unpack it. Hopefully, we'll make some news. And you know what? If at the end of this day, if somehow we could build some bridges, mend some wounds, I have my rhetorical suture kit ready. I'm ready. And we're going to see if maybe we can launch some kind of healing in this GOP conference. Stop the name calling. Let's get to business. Let's get something done. That coming up later, 710 Kerry Ingram on education choice. We're going to talk to Nick Schroer at 725. And we're going to talk to Cindy O'Loughlin at 8:10. Hold on. Put on your seatbelts. More coming up on the Randy Tobler Show.
Randy Tobler, truth warrior, woke destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. This is News Talk STL.
314-912-1019, the number if you want to weigh in. It looks like it's all over but the shouting when it comes to the presidential nomination for the GOP. Yesterday in court, another political victory for Donald Trump in his quest, I think, net, at least within the party, as a jury awarded $83 million to E. Jean Carroll. Crazy E. Jean Carroll on the defamation suit against Donald Trump, the vast majority of which was punitive damages, 60-some-odd million dollars. So we're coming to the point that every time that Donald Trump is the victim of the weaponization of the DOJ and jurors sitting in jury boxes in the blue enclaves, New York City, soon to be the probably the ruination in another New York City trial of his entire business model and business empire and his family's business. I think Judge Engoron is going to slam it to him. I don't think there's going to be any mercy. But every time he takes a hit on that side of his ledger, the political stock price goes up. But that, where does the political stock price go up? It goes up among we the faithful. And by the faithful, I mean those of us who think that Donald Trump, on his worst character day, on his most bellicose, mean-spirited, sniping out, Nikki Haley's a bird brain, Marco Rubio's got small hands, look at Ron Paul's hair. On his worst day, he's better than any Democrat. But I ask you, is that going to be enough to get him over the hurdle in the general election? That is the question. And I'm just not sure, because I think it's gonna hinge on the vice presidential pick. I believe that the vast majority of Americans, and if you're honest with yourself, even if you're an always Trumper, if you go to sleep with a MAGA hat on, and I know many of you do, you don't have to call and admit it, but if you want to, 314-912-1019, that's okay. That's okay. But even those of you who go to sleep with a MAGA hat on, have to, you realize that there's a turning of the generations. It's on us. It's happening. Many of us are part of that generation that are now walking off into the sunset, soon walking off, within the next 10, 15 years, if not sooner. And I'm talking in terms of productivity. I'm not talking about, you know, in the dirt. I'm just talking about in terms of leadership and political aspirations. And a new generation is coming. And I think that's where the vice presidential pick, unlike most every other election, usually it's a meh, whatever. No, it's going to be a big deal. And so I ask you, do you think it's important, and how important, and who should it be? Not that this should be a check the box vice presidential pick for President Trump. I think getting a mini Trumper in there is not the right solution. I think it has to be someone with a little more moderation. Now, before you turn off your radios, don't turn off your radio. Don't turn off the Facebook and Rumble feed. Hear me out on this. I'm going to say it again. You're going to hear it till you get tired of it. Clay Travis said it yesterday on Outkick. I saw it on the Twitter feed. I agree with him wholeheartedly. When I heard him say it, I thought, wow, yeah, you're right, dude. It's not what we want to hear, but you're right. There has to be a woman. I think it needs to be a woman, because I think it's time for a woman to sit in the Oval Office soon. Women in America want to see that last hurdle in terms of the feminist movement. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong, or I agree or disagree. I'm just looking at the tea leaves. I think it's important that it be a woman. And I also think that it'd be a woman that potentially is more moderate, and I think necessarily is a bit more moderate than the Donald Trump rhetoric. Now, Donald Trump didn't rule as a conservative. He didn't. And he's every time reform, and look at how he bashed Nikki Haley when she talked about reforming Social Security. Oh my God. We raised the age by a year or two. Oh, Donald Trump went ballistic. Maybe some of you did too. It makes sense. George W. Bush tried to do it. Not for Jerome. Not for those of you who have adult kids that are 30 and 40. You don't take away their Social Security that they've built up, but you allow them to start putting some kind of a mandated savings, if that's what we believe in America, and sadly we do, it's baked in the cake, put it into the market. Let them, in a defined contribution way, participate in the market. It would increase their returns, it would drive the market with investment, and it would take control out of the government. Nikki Haley made a reasonable accommodation to extend Medicare for many of you who would like to tap into it because you're only 50, 55. And, you know, it shouldn't go away for you. But at some time, there needs to be reform. Trump didn't lead by, but he represents a populist, hard right, rhetorical part of the Republican / conservative movement. That's not who's going to get him elected, ladies and gentlemen. Our vote in Missouri means nothing to his election. Zero. Nada. So we become analysts and influencers. If you have people, that friends and family that live in where? Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, maybe Nevada. What am I leaving out here? Maybe Wisconsin. That's what's going to make the difference in this election. What, 100,000 votes, 120,000 votes? That's the way it's going to swing. Those voters watch NPR. I listen to NPR. They watch PBS. And yeah, they may tune into News Talk STL too, to their own peril. That's a shame. Tell them if they want to get the straight poop, they should listen to News Talk STL more. But that's another discussion. Many of them won't because they're tainted by the liberal media. And the liberal media has convinced them that anything that comes from the more populist, more traditional constitutionalist side of the ledger is authoritarian, it's racist, it's xenophobic, it's misogynist, it's, you know all of those tropes. But ask him to listen to Dean Phillips. I don't have that clip, but Dean Phillips went and spent some time on a MAGA rally up in New Hampshire. Dean Phillips running against Biden. He got, what do you get, 20s, in the 20s percentage-wise in that vote. And he said, you know, these were warm, embracing people. So if you have influenceable moderates and independents who voted maybe for Trump in 16 and voted for Obama in 8, but voted for Biden in 20, maybe they voted for W in 2000. You know, those kind of people. And you can talk to them. Have them listen to what Dean Phillips said. He was embraced by the people standing in line for a Trump rally. And he said, you know, it would behoove Joe Biden and those of us on our side of the ledger to do that. And in a similar way, we need to do that, maybe physically and metaphorically. Give our moderate friends a hug. We are depending on them to get the vote out for the GOP nominee, who apparently will be Donald Trump. And it breaks my heart to see him going after Nikki Haley. Because Nikki Haley, yeah, you can say what you want about her, but she governed in South Carolina pretty much as a conservative. You can talk about the flag and the Confederate flag, but in terms of policies, not bad. Her policy on the gas tax was misrepresented. That was a trade. That was a compromise. That was a little raise in the gas tax for some very conservative things that she gained. And whether it's her, whether Elise Stefanik is a New York Republican. You look at her actual voting record. Yeah, she came on in the Supreme Court nomination hearings. You know, she did pretty good in the interviews of the woke presidents of Yale and Harvard and UPenn. Yeah, she did good. She doesn't have a CPAC, an American Conservative Union strong voting record, but I'd vote for her any day to be president tomorrow. And Nikki Haley, again, on Nikki Haley's worst, most liberal, neocon day, is better than anyone on the right, on the left. Anyone. So who do you think should be his VP nominee? I mean, Tim Scott? Yeah, that's not a bad choice. But I think Tim, man, when he got up there and endorsed Trump the other day, he did that when he made his announcement for president. It was just too shrill. It was too bellicose. Vivek, I don't know whether he's polished enough and has enough enough cred against the 40 to 60 crowd. Yeah, the young crowd, Vivek, you're strong. But he didn't vote until 2018. That troubles me. If you're such a patriot, why didn't you vote, Vivek? That's a, that to me is a red flag about Vivek. You? Maybe not. Jerome? You got a VP, at least a short list for VP for Trump? It's going to be a big deal.
My support still lies with Katie from News Talk St. Louis. I haven't changed on that yet.
I agree. Well, and I was getting to that. Now, let's just cut to the chase. When it comes down to it, Donald Trump, if you're listening, anyone who's in the MAGA camp, maybe Tim Jones, I think he listens. He's deep into the MAGA. He knows the MAGA people. I nominate Katie. I don't think Katie's a mom. She's as conservative as they come. She's articulate. You know, she's got all of the great things going for her. I think Katie should be our nominee. But yet, she's got that sweet, endearing quality. She doesn't come across as mean-spirited. Sometimes Nikki can be mean-spirited. There's not a mean bone in Katie's body. Okay, that's it. Katie for vice president for Donald Trump. I think that's it. It's a write-in proposition for me. No doubt about it. I wonder what Katie would say, though, about what went on in the border. We have a little clip from a guy. You may have seen it, but a guy that crossed the border and was interviewed by a columnist, a journalist, and it was a frightening exchange. The border is alive and well as an issue. I don't know if Joe Biden's going to be able to shut it down to do away with things like we heard here that are frightening. Listen.
If you are smart enough, you will know who I am. But you are really not smart enough to know who I am. But soon you're going to know who I am.
Okay. You're not smart enough to know who I am, but soon you will know who I am. Is that a veiled terrorist threat? And Jerome, I know you had some thoughts about it. There's been some rumors that maybe that guy has been a terrorist, been identified as a terrorist. I mean, you know, no one knows for sure.
Yeah, so there's an actual longer video that incorporates that clip from a investigative journalist, like an independent guy. And the guy that just made that quote saying, you will know who I am, looks extremely similar to this other man. I can't pronounce his name, unfortunately, but he's literally was spent about a decade in jail and was just recently released for plots to commit acts of terrorism. So they're not saying that it's 100% the guy, but this dude looks really... Yeah. Really similar. And if you have people walking across the border just saying, you don't know who I am, but you will, or making any, like, that doesn't make me feel very good about what's going on down there. I'm just being real.
No, that's right. I mean, that sounded like Godfather terrorist version, right? I mean, it's like, hey, you're talking to me? You don't know who I am? I'll show you who I am. You know, I mean, it just, I don't know. That was frightening. But there's the other thing that we haven't talked about a lot. The other issue, and I think a conservative woman probably has the best stance, the highest standing to be the anti-woke arm of the vice presidential ticket, right? Because only a woman can really speak as well to what the woke movement, particularly the crazy transgender thing and its threat to women's sports, for instance, for our girls in high school, for our collegiate athletes, for women's professional sports, for the Olympics, it's all up and down the spectrum. I think a woman has a particular niche for really, really drilling down on the threat that woke and that embodiment of woke, the transgender thing, does. So clip five. Now, I'm as we go to the break, this is a little woke busting here. I want to really have you open your eyes. Do you remember the Women's World Cup was won by the Spanish team? The male leader of that team, who you have to say built a team that won the Women's World Cup. Remember, they were all, after they won, he, in a moment of celebration, exuberance, filterless activity, you don't. Oh. Did I give you the wrong one? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, this guy's name is Rubiales. Apparently, the clip is paywalled. I don't know. I guess I didn't pay for it, but I saw it anyway. As New York Times clip, this guy, it doesn't matter. I'll tell you what happened. This guy's name is Rubiales. He's the head of the Spanish Soccer Federation. So he's like the civil soccer dude extraordinaire at the top of the heap. In Spain. And, you know, the soccer thing in Europe and in Spain and all those countries is is like the NFL here. It is the sport. In it, he kissed her, and it didn't look like she rejected and flared away. Oh my God! You know, it was a moment of exuberance. You know, these exuberance, and I'm not saying it was the right thing to do. It was a little knuckleheaded, probably in retrospect. He probably, oh, I don't know, that's going to get me. The guy is going to face trial. They have now charged him with sexual assault in Spain. Sexual assault. Now, if Katie's listening, maybe she'd weigh in on that. I don't know. My wife thought it was ridiculous. She said, yeah, he's a bore for doing it. But, you know, you can understand in a moment of exuberance. And after all, aren't we all equal now? I thought we were all equal. So why is a woman feeling objectified and mashed hashtag me too? I mean, you know. If the guy kissed Jerome, he'd probably just say, hey, step out into the alley. We're going to work this out. Right. And so if we're all equal, and again, I'm arguing the absurd here to make a point. But the point is, I mean, we're at a disastrous time. I think most reasonable women would say, maybe I'm wrong. If you're a gal, 314-912-1019, I want to hear what you have to say about this. Would you want that person to be prosecuted during a celebratory, you're on the same team. He's on the civil side. He's got a suit. Yeah, you've got a uniform, but you wouldn't be where you were in a sense if he wasn't raising the money, sponsoring the things, doing the administrative work that needed to be done so you could win the World Cup. And in a moment of exuberance, he kisses you, and then prosecuting him for sexual assault? Really? He could go away for 1 to 4 years. Now, okay, Randy, you're a guy. Of course, you're going to try to defend it. I'm not defending it, but I mean, that's where the woke movement is going. And my point is, that's where it's heading here in these United States. And again, to circle around to the electoral politics of it all, I think only a woman can, a sensible woman can say, yeah, he probably should be, you know, rhetorically been given a little time out in the corner with the dunce cap on. Stupid move. Think that through. Don't let it happen again. But go to jail? I don't know. Let me know if I'm right or wrong. 314-912-1019. It's the Tobler Show on News Talk STL, 101.9-94.1. Remember, at 7:10, Education Choice. At 7:25, Nick Schroer from Freedom Caucus. At 8:10, Cindy O'Loughlin, Senate Majority Leader. It's a sizzling show. Don't miss it.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter.
Hey, looks like you like to get up early, so Monday through Friday, listen to me from 5:30 to 9. Mike Ferguson here, and you are listening to The Randy Tobler Show right here on News Talk STL.
Well, thank you for tuning in. It's 6:47. Invite your phone calls on the upcoming November election for president and down the ticket. You know, there are so many issues on the table, and maybe it'll become really about the personalities and about the competence, assuming Joe Biden makes it to the finish line of the election, assuming Donald Trump makes it to the finish line. That's a guy that I think on his side is he doesn't drink. Against him is he's a little overweight. He likes his Pepsi. He likes his marbled steaks. Sort of a traditional American diet. I worry about how his coronary and arteries are. Maybe they're good. I don't know. But you wonder, I mean, just, you know, statistically, let's assume they both make it. The one thing we know for sure is Joe is increasingly struggling, really, really struggling with reading a teleprompter or, God forbid, going off the teleprompter. We have, from time to time, we like to just to throw in a little bit of some levity into the program. We like to play what we call a Biden bite. You know, you have your alligator bites at Cyborgs. You've got your various, you got little, you know, potato bites. You got little, you know, chicken bites. Here's a little Biden bite for you from up in Wisconsin. Maybe he'd already had some beer the other day. I'm not sure.
We'll teach Donald Trump a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the men in America unless you want to get the benefit.
Play that again, Jerome. I don't know.
We'll teach Donald Trump a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the men in America unless you want to get the benefit.
So I've listened to that clip probably 8-9 times already. And it sounds to me like he's saying, don't mess with the men of America. But for the life of me, I cannot figure out, unless you want the benefit of something, I cannot decode that. Do you have any ideas, doctor?
Oh, well, I thought it was don't mess with the women of America unless you want to get the benefit. See, I went down that smell their hair, creepy Joe. I went down the smell the hair, creepy Joe funnel there. Maybe that was the wrong rabbit hole to go down. But play it again. I heard don't mess with American women unless you want to get the benefit, which sounds creepy.
We'll teach Donald Trump a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women of America unless you want to get the benefit.
Don't mess with the... See, I heard the women of America unless you want to get the benefit. I don't know.
The benefit of what?
I just don't.
Oh, man.
Which brings me to another thought. I keep circling back to the tension I'm having over what's going on in the Missouri Senate. Man, you know, I was at a Christmas luncheon where Bill Eigel was the featured speaker. And I was sitting, and it was sponsored by the host of one of the shows there on the station in Columbia, and by Gary Nolan, great, great talker. And I went there and I listened. It was a nice steakhouse there in Columbia. And Bill gave a, Bill's a rhetorical ace. He's so good. And I agree with all of his policy stances, every one of them. And Bill came over to the table I was sitting at. And, man, he answered the tough questions, you know, like, well, you know, if we cut property, if property taxes go away, like tomorrow, what do you got? How are we going to have our fire districts, our school districts, and, you know, other authorities that depend, our sewer districts? They all depend to some degree or another on property taxes, you know, and on personal property tax. How are we going to? He said, don't worry. He had an answer for all that. It was great. And answered the tough questions and wants to get things done, like the Freedom Caucus. I want to get things done. But then I think about my experience with Cindy O'Loughlin when I was running the hospital up in Northeast Missouri during and through COVID, and she was elected during, well, before COVID, and then took leadership shortly after. And I'm telling you, I don't know a more a person of higher integrity on my personal involvement with her, as far as my professional involvement with her, as far as, you know, my personal relationship with her. It's great. She's a great listener. She does her homework. She doesn't reflexively, you know, say yes or no. She thinks. She's a person of Christ. Bill, I know, I think he's a person of faith, and I think most of the people in the conference are. Bill's a Air Force veteran. I mean, my God, we got all these people with great credentials. Caleb Rowden. Caleb's family, I think his family, but I know Caleb was into Christian music before he got into this business. Into the political business. The great man of Christ. Good man. I think Caleb and Cindy got tired of sort of it's maybe the there's one way, we got to get it done now instead of trying to work the maneuvers. And I think they ran out of patience. I don't know. But it's good to play the Biden bites to connect the dots here. And remember that no matter what happens in the well of the Missouri Senate, in the governor's office, in the attorney general's office, in City Hall in St. Louis, O'Fallon, St. Charles, Washington, St. Louis County Government Center. Maybe we ought all to remember that in the scope and in the context of eternity, we need to put it all in context. And maybe the sides can think of things when they're getting heated up and when there's fist pounding and name calling going on and start, take a step back. Open up the Bible randomly. Just take a read out of the New Testament. Just do that. And maybe, just maybe, some bridges can be built and some fences can be mended, and people, reasonable people who can disagree, can agree at least on some commonalities. And they may not get their best, but they might get better than where we are now. And then the session after that, they get better from that better. And eventually we get to best incrementally. I don't know. I'm just saying. Sometimes it's good to pinch yourself and step back and just chill out a little bit. Which is why which is why, and I say this a little bit tongue planted in cheek, maybe all of the senators need to voluntarily take parking spots at least a half a mile away from the Capitol and walk off some of that energy before you walk into the Capitol, starting on Monday, and just get some of that energy out, down, just blow off some of that steam. It's like an early morning workout. The cortisol's up. The stress hormones are up. The testosterone, if you're a guy, and maybe if you're a gal, is up. Because testosterone, gals do have testosterone, you know.
That's true.
And maybe we just look in the mirror and decide, do you want to get along, truly get along, for the good of the people, even if it means you take a little bit of an ego hit? Is that possible in 2024 in the Missouri Senate? I don't know. I pray. I literally pray that happens. Because, look, Arizona can do it. Iowa can do it. Florida's doing it. Pennsylvania's doing it when it comes to education choice. Let's get further than we were last year. And how about next year we get to universal choice, if not this year? And let's not gum up the works if we can't get to perfect, but if we get to better. Is that a reasonable accommodation for all sides? We'll be asking those kind of questions of Nick Schroer at 7:25, Cindy O'Loughlin at 8:10. And we'll be playing some Kumbaya music too. Jerome's going to work on some Kumbaya,
my Lord,
Kumbaya. I'm serious. We're going to do it. Okay. Coming up, Carrie Ingram, not Laura's sister-in-law, I don't think, from Independent Women's Forum, as we discuss education choice, and maybe set an example about what's going on across the nation. You're listening to 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Thank you so much for being here.